This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
Here we go. Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests on the Barton Hahn Show appear on the Goodyear Hotline. Brian Windhorst is going to join us in about 10 minutes as what a night in the NBA last night. But before we get there, Bart Scott, did you just reveal to me minutes ago that you made your maiden voyage on your Peloton today?
I did. I'm the first one. I got shouted out, too. I think, what's her name? Something Love?
Allie Love.
Allie Love, yeah. Absolutely.
She was a dancer with the Brooklyn Nets and also the Knicks at times.
Uh-huh.
Allie Love's terrific. Plays great music, too.
As you have on your Peloton shirt. So I'm thinking.
The timing, the synergy.
I didn't want to step out with my boy just off the gate because I didn't want to embarrass myself. You know what I'm saying? So I wanted to suffer in silence.
You did a live ride and you didn't want to embarrass yourself with me. If you told me what you were doing, I'd jump in there with you.
See, I didn't know.
A ride this morning. Every morning I do a ride.
I had to figure out what I was doing. Like what time, it all based on what time I can wake up and how many times I hit the snooze button.
I'm Han Solo on Peloton. You better follow me. What's yours?
I am Buzz Lightyear 57 because somebody took Buzz Lightyear outright. What the hell is going on? That's my name.
Did you take Buzz Lightyear?
Buzz Lightyear is always.
I thought you'd go Mad Backer.
No, Buzz Lightyear has always been my name coming out the gate when I go to Disney World and I shoot my kids up and stuff like that. And that little Buzz Lightyear game
to infinity and beyond.
Yeah, exactly. You got to push it.
Oh, man. All right. So
great day in the NBA, though, man. Great day.
We'll follow each other. I have, well done on the segue, by the way. Let's get the Straight Talk brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Yes. What a night last night in the NBA. Where do we begin? Well, James Harden goes back to Houston. And, you know, I mean, the Nets did what they were supposed to do, just destroy a bad Houston team 13 straight. Smattering of boos, but not many. They gave him the tribute video as expected, and he played great. And the Nets won easy, again, as you would expect. That was that. But that game last night between
who?
The Sixers and the Jazz.
Yeah, we don't see them enough. I'm so damn tired of seeing Steph Curry every single night. If it ain't him, I got to watch LeBrick. I'm like, can we get some diversity? I understand that they are the champions and they're the darlings, but man, can we get to know the rest of
Dame
the league?
You got Dame Lillard last night, a little Dame time last night late in the game.
I'm tired of seeing them too much too.
But this game, all right. So this game, I don't know which way do we go first because again, we don't have a lot of time with Wendy coming up. But so the Sixers win 131-123 in overtime. Embiid hits a force overtime, which was dramatic. And this is, again, the two best teams in their respective conferences. And I know nobody in the league wants to hear it because they want to hear Nets-Lakers is your finals, star-studded. But everybody, don't sleep on it. It could be the finals matchup preview. It could be.
Is Doc that important? Is Doc that big of an influence? I mean, Embiid looks in shape, unstoppable.
Totally different player.
I mean, the dude was pushed over, had to get up and saw that the time was running out, ran to the three-point line, release, rotation, splash, to quote the great Mark Jackson. I mean, this dude is playing unbelievable. And now, finally, when he falls, I don't get scared. I don't like, oh, he fall, he going to hurt something.
Glass. He's not made of glass anymore?
Yes, because, like, and, you know, we talk a lot about Zion Williams and how he's one of one. Mm-hmm. It is nobody that I believe this game has ever seen that has the skill set and the size of Joel Embiid. Shaq was not like that. Like, he's like a mix of Shaq and Hakeem Olajuwon.
You know what? I like that you said that. When we like to do comparisons, right? And I do believe that we're in an era now where there's no player-to-player comparison because the game's evolved so much. Right. I believe you've got to take today's great players, put them in a blender.
Yeah.
I do. I think you've got is a couple of ingredients that make this guy. And Embiid, to me, a combination of Dirk Nowitzki, right, and Shaq.
It's like,
he's got the physical, you know, he's got the, or if you want to say Hakeem instead of Shaq, because he's incredibly athletic and powerful, and yet he can shoot, he could take you outside like Dirk could, makes his free throws, 40 points, 19 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 blocks, plus 10 in 40 minutes, and as we mentioned, he's 2 of 5 from downtown, and that 1-3 that he made was a critical 3, and so he's going up against Rudy Gobert. And Rudy Gobert again, the defensive player of the year guy, two-time defensive player. Everybody thinks he's going to win it again.
Man,
he is obviously a great defensive player, and the Jazz are a great defensive team. And the last time these two teams met, Embiid didn't play, sat out. And everybody's like, aha, you're ducking again. You don't like Gobert. You're ducking Gobert. So, of course, after the game, Embiid is now talking to the media, the same people that said you were ducking Rudy Gobert. You didn't want to go up against a tough defensive guy like that, did you, Joel? So Joel was like, yeah. Oh, you always want to ask me about the great game I had? How about we talk about this instead? Take a listen to Joel Embiid.
Well, first of all, according to Keith Pompey, according to him, I'm scared of him, and I'm scared of top center. So, man, as we saw tonight, it looks like I was very, very scared of him. So, yeah, keep talking.
This is what I appreciate about Joel Embiid. He is a habitual line stepper.
Nothing wrong with
that.
He's
a guy with so much personality. I was talking to you before. He reminds me of the personality, not as funny, but still kind of like he's sarcastic, like Greg Oden. Like he's what we thought Greg Oden when he came out. He played the little piano. How funny he was. How talented he was.
Mm-hmm, very talented.
And he just never could stay healthy.
Well, he got hurt
early on.
He was great at Ohio State.
But early on, Joel Embiid,
he and Mike Conley,
same way.
And then he got to the league. And he was
right. Portland.
Everybody forgets too. I'm sorry, boy. I keep cutting you off. But I just want to just clarify because you're saying things that I want to get everybody set up.
Yeah.
Greg Oden was the number one pick. The number two pick that year was
over Kevin Durant.
Kevin Durant, right. So this was another one of those Portland things. But, right, so Greg Oden was a great college player who never panned out as an NBA player. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, because he just couldn't stay healthy. And early on in Joel Embiid's career, he couldn't stay healthy. So it was very, you know, very similar. You know, he was out the process. He couldn't stay healthy. But, man, it's like talking about putting it together. Remember what we were saying before the season, like a couple of years ago? If they had to pick one, would they pick Ben Simmons over Joel Embiid because it's easier because he has the ball in his hand? But, listen, it's like one of those things, right, where you play a team and you never see a player like this all year until you see Joel Embiid. You think you got it figured out, and then you play him, and it's like, holy crap, this dude is a load. Not only can he come in and stretch and open up the court, but, man, it's nothing you can do when you go down low. And then he's a good enough passer. It's like, man, listen, I know we've been talking Brooklyn, but Brooklyn, I don't know if DeAndre Jordan wants that smoke. He might be fouled out in the first 2 minutes of the game. They better go get somebody else, and like you said, you want to hit him. Not with no other big bodies, but a guy like P.J. Tucker, somebody that can get underneath him and got quick hands. You want to have different types of defenders to throw at him. I don't know if DeAndre Jordan wants that smoke. Now, I know that's the reason why DeAndre Jordan is on the team, for Joel Embiid. But, man, if he's going to play at this level, I mean, I know we're in Abbott with Harden. But, man, yesterday it looked to me like I saw the most skilled player.
Is he your MVP?
He's my MVP.
The problem is,
I can't wait till we get Wendy on, because I believe that he's more important to his team than anybody else. And I think getting Al Horford out of there, opening up the lane, allows him to play the way that he should have always played. The offense should always go through him. And I think that he's the best player in the game right now. And I wish that we would do a better job in being able to put that on TV so we can get a look at him more and just see how special this guy is, man.
Now you mentioned, and again, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776 to be part of the conversation. Brian Windhorst is going to join us here in a couple of minutes. But you know, you mentioned it, and it's true. You know, the Doc Rivers is the biggest addition they really made. They clear out Al Horford. And I think Embiid's having an MVP season. It's no doubt about it. All right, Brian's with us now? All right, great. So, all right, Brian Windhorst joins us now on the
Make Us All Smarter,
Goodyear
Brian. He always
hotline.
Makes us smarter.
So Wendy, when you watched that game last night, and I know we'll get into the officiating thing in a minute, Joel Embiid and the performance he had, and Bart thinks, I kind of feel the same way. First half of the season, is he your MVP?
Yeah, I don't really know where I'd put my MVP vote right now. I mean, you know, I really was in the LeBron camp a couple of weeks ago, and he still played well, but the Lakers have, you know, I don't know about collapse, but they've lost 6 of 8 since AD got hurt. And fair or not, that hurts his candidacy. It just hurts it. And meanwhile, Harden is playing just spectacularly. So, you know, I'd have to weigh Harden, Embiid, and LeBron really hard right now. The thing about last night that I – as somebody who has this job, it's not going to be for everybody. But for the last 2 years, and especially for the last 2 weeks, Joel Embiid has talked many times publicly about how badly he wants to win Defensive Player of the Year this year. I did an interview with him before last season, and he said he wanted to win MVP and Defensive Player of the Year, which is what Giannis ended up winning. It really, the award really matters to him, not only because of the honor, but he also wants to beat Gobert. He doesn't like Rudy Gobert. He thinks he's better
he's
than
scared.
Him.
I thought he was scared
he's
of
offended.
Him, right?
He's offended that he made the Gobert made All-NBA last year over him. And I want to point something out. Joel has a reason to outlast Rudy Gobert for either All-NBA or Defensive Player of the Year, which he's going to make All-NBA. But, guys, if he makes All-NBA or gets Defensive Player of the Year, he's super max eligible, super max extension eligible this summer, which means a $200 million contract. So, but seriously, Joel has said, I want to win Defensive Player of the Year at least four or five times that I've seen in the last 2 weeks. So before the game yesterday, my colleague at ESPN, Tim Bontemps, asked Doc Rivers about it, and Doc says, oh, yeah, I think Ben Simmons and Rudy Gobert are the two lead candidates for Defensive Player of the Year. And, like, I mean, I wasn't there. I don't know, but I don't know if Doc was trying to gas Joel up even more before that game. But I couldn't stop laughing when I saw that. By the way, Ben Simmons is very deserving as well.
He's
what he did last night against Donovan Mitchell late in the game was fantastic. He got Donovan all out of sorts. No doubt about that.
Do we reprimand Donovan Mitchell, or do you think that they should reprimand Donovan Mitchell for his meltdown? You know, much like Draymond Green when the game was close and he couldn't keep his composure. Is this a teachable moment for him, or do you think they should sit him down, or should they at least, you know, call him out, you know, publicly through the media saying, hey, he let us down. He's our leader. He has to be better than that. He has to keep his composure.
I mean, Bart, don't you think, I mean, if you were on that team, don't you think you'd pull him aside and say that if you were a veteran leader? Were some of the calls strange? Could he have gotten a call or two? Yeah. I mean, the calls didn't go their way last night. I mean, first off, Philly gets to the line a lot, and Embiid's gotten to the line a lot all year. That's going to be their MO. But yes, you know, in that weird out-of-bounds call, you know, they tried to explain it after the game. They hit the official. I mean, I get why he was upset, but you're right. I mean, if you're going to be the leader of the team, you got to be out there on the court. And, Draymond got a real quick hook a couple of weeks ago, but he took responsibility for it. Devin Booker a couple of nights ago got a real quick hook. You know, you can complain about it, or you can say, listen, the officials are doing this right now. We got to adjust our thinking. And, you know, look, at the end of the day, Donovan, I think, was 12 of 34 last night. He was having a bad game. I mean, he was helping them stay in the game. That performance probably wins a lot of games. And what drives the Jazz crazy is they made three times as many threes. I think they made, you know, they had 63 points from the 3-point line. You should win that game. So I understand why he's upset, but you're right, Bart. He can't get thrown out of the game.
On that note, though, and we're talking with Brian Windhorst, is Barton Hahn. What he said after the game, I don't think it's specific to his experience in the game. I think it was triggered by his experience getting thrown out in overtime, his frustration. But are you seeing, because you brought up Booker, you brought up Draymond, how about J.J. Redick, you know, literally just rolling the ball, and we're seeing a lot of hair trigger texts called. Do you feel like there is something of concern going on in the league with the officiating, or is there even maybe a mandate among officials that are like, hey, let's not let these guys get away with some of the verbal abuse that's been going on lately, the last couple of years?
I mean, the thing that's going on with the officials right now that's so wild is that these NBA players are under these preposterous protocols for COVID. Mm-hmm. The officials are out there flying commercial. You know, they're not wearing masks around the court. There was a report yesterday that essentially blamed the Raptors coaches for the team being shut down for a couple of games because they weren't following the mask protocols. What about the officials? I mean, I say that I care about them. I don't want them to get sick, but, you know, there's a lot of weird things going on in the league right now.
I didn't even think about that. They're flying commercial and they don't wear masks on the court. I didn't even think about that until you said that. It never dawned on me.
I mean, I'm not a genius. I don't know anything about the virus. I'm just saying, like, if the referees are a little bit moody and they got a hair trigger, then just back off. The Booker thing, the reason that was so fascinating was one of the two or three most senior officials in the NBA, Mark Davis, was on that crew. Mm-hmm. He didn't call either technical, and clearly it was a younger official, the youngest official in the crew, in fact, having sort of the middle officials back on whatever Booker said. And then after the game, Mark Davis, as the crew chief, explained it to the media. That's very unusual to see the youngest official throw an NBA All-Star out of the game protecting a back. That's like, you know, when you want to get inside baseball, that's the interesting thing to me. But, you know, I don't think it's, you know, it's just an ebb and flow type situation. And, you know, if there's more text being called, then you got to adjust your game.
Yeah, that's clearly where it's going. I'm with you on that. I saw the same thing, and I saw it in a couple of occasions where it seems like the younger refs are getting a little sensitive to it. And as we remember the old days where the refs were mostly older guys, and they handled it much different. They handled the players much different. It's just we're in a different era right now. Brian, one of the reasons why we wanted to have you on, not only did we just love having you on, but is because you said something on the Hoop. I don't want to
elective.
Say that.
That's okay.
Anyways, you said it on the podcast. I cannot think of it right now because I'm an idiot.
The Hoop Collective. That's okay.
Yes, the Hoop Collective. Footprints. Thank you.
Because carriers, Wendy.
I've got like 7,000 things on my mind right now. But you said something regarding the Knicks that, of course, has everybody in New York now dying to know what you're saying, and everybody now is playing the guessing game, myself included, because I'm a sucker for this stuff. Now, you're much smarter than me. I've known this from the day we met many, many years ago. So I do think I'm a simpleton. I do things where I play connect the dots. So when you say that you're hearing, or the belief is, in the next 12 months or within the next year, a superstar or star level player will force his way to the Knicks, but you won't give the name. I just play connect the dots. I go with, let's see, Kentucky, CAA, and I go right to Devin Booker, who needs people to get hurt to be an all-star. Now, would you say that I'm way off base? How about let's play the hot-cold game. Am I hot? Am I cold? Am I warm? What would you say?
What I said was the Knicks are in position right now with the momentum that they have and their assets, what they have on their side, which is the city of New York, which is 9 first-round picks in the next 7 years, which is multiple young players who could be very interesting either for a star to want to play with or to use in a trade. An all-star on the roster, Julius Randle, who has developed into an all-star and has a very attractive contract. That is the plan. You mentioned an agent, a former agent as the president, and Wes Wesley, who specializes in communicating with stars, bonding with star players. You have the recipe there for somebody to want to be there. And I know that the Knicks have been consistently rejected in free agency. I agree. There's no thing that you can say. My belief is that in the next 12 months, there's going to be a star, and it may be a guy that we can all, you know, sit around and say that's going to be the guy, or it may be a guy that we can't see right now. But what the Lakers traded for Anthony Davis, what the Clippers traded to get Paul George and Kawhi Leonard, what the Nets traded to get James Harden, the Knicks have that sitting in their hand right now. They hold the cards, and the conditions are correct for that to happen. Obviously, they got to maintain the momentum. They can't stub their toe, because I thought they were here a few years ago when they had Porzingis and they had this plan in this front office about how to go low and slow, and they stubbed their toe. So with their situation right now, I'm not going to make an ironclad guarantee, but I could see between this trade deadline and next trade deadline, so you're talking about 3 transaction cycles, this trade deadline, offseason, next trade deadline, I think somebody's going to look at the league and say, that's the place where I want to put down roots. And the Knicks have to stay on this path to make that possible.
All right, so it's not that you have an idea of a player. It's more or less that they have they've got all the cash in the bank.
Well, look, Alan, I could tell you some of the guys that I think it lines up with, but if I do that,
you know what's happening.
My phone's going to explode from people in Bristol, executives to agents. So I encourage your fans to do what the Knicks are probably doing in their front office, which is who should we prepare to try to see if we could get? And I think that's a fun exercise because it's a real exercise.
It's what Knicks fans live for, Brian. It's what Knicks fans live for.
But it's been what Knicks fans have been living for the last 4 or 5 years, and it's been Chuck Woolery. I'm telling you, Chuck Woolery, they went on a date and they came in, it didn't work out so well.
Yeah, but so here's all I'm going to say. Like, the Knicks have made a choice. They could have just rolled up the sidewalks, taken their beating this year, and tried to get one of those top 3 or 4 picks. And they might still end up there because they might miss the playoffs and end up there. That's not the way they did it. They're going the other way, and they're saying we're gonna start to build something. We're going to establish a culture. We're going to establish a style of play, and we're going to present ourselves as this is where you want to be. If you're going to go that route, then you need the talent to come. And you obviously there's 3 ways to get players: sign them, trade for them, draft them. There's no guys really available in signing. Those guys have all re-signed. I don't think Kawhi Leonard's leaving the Clippers. Forget about the signing. So your move is the trade market. And if you look at what's happened over the last few years and what the cost of star players are and how the star players have said, send me to that city. Paul George, you're sending me to the Clippers. James Harden, you're sending me to the Nets. Anthony Davis, you're sending me to the Lakers. Although he would have gone to the Knicks, but the Knicks wouldn't make the deal. But okay, different story. That scenario is what the Knicks need to pour gasoline on this build. And they're building in that direction. Whether they get there, we're going to wait and watch.
All right.
Now, Wendy, as you know, in this business,
Kawhi Leonard it is. Everybody heard him.
In this business, they tell you it's the art of the tease. And, my friend, that's one of the greatest teases in the history of
New York radio. You know what, though? It's not a tease. I'm just telling you the way it is.
I'm not trying to
make people get excited about, you know, the next segment. I'm just telling you that's the lay of the land right now. And you go talk to executives. I mean, I do think that another team that's in that same vein would be Dallas. Dallas, because they've got Doncic. But they don't have the same collection of opportunities because the Knicks have their picks. And let's be honest, Dallas is not New York. Somebody someday is going to want to play at Madison Square Garden and forget about what Kevin Durant said and want to be the star there. It's going to happen, I promise you, before we're all dead.
God willing, my man, God willing. Wendy, always great to talk to you. Thanks so much for the time.
Have a good day, guys.
He's the best.
Brian Windhorst.
He's the best. That is
he's not trying to tease.
Are you not entertained?
That is a
Are you not entertained?
Oh, my goodness. Brian Windhorst giving us a straight talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. Well, you have that, Knick fans. You have that, NBA fans. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. So, Bart, Brian does – like, Wendy's not going to speculate. He just feels like they're set up for it. So he's just what he's doing is he's the perception that he has is, oh, yeah, this is they're setting up. So something's going to happen. It's a matter of time. So my question is, who's it going to be? I feel like, you know, my paint by numbers tells me Devin Booker. But there could be others. So who do you guys think it is? Again, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. And also on social media, at Bart and Han, Twitter and Instagram. Would love to hear the reactions to that. But also, you also want to hear what Donovan Mitchell did say about the officiating after the game. And as Wendy said, there is a bit of an issue going on in the league. There's no doubt about it. So we should look into it, as should the league as well. We will get into NFL at 1 o'clock. A lot of headlines in the NFL to get to, so we will open that up and go a little buffet 1 o'clock in the NFL and let Bart run loose. But for now, the NBA, and it's Bart and Han. ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Bart and Han.
You know, the question is, can we do it? Can we sustain it? Are we for real number one? Like, yeah, the hell we are. And it's getting ridiculous that this is what's happening, and the league needs to do something about this.
And the Jazz are going to lose in Philadelphia. Donovan is just got ejected from the basketball game. Donovan Mitchell just went after the official and just got ejected from the game.
You know what this is, don't you?
No, for a minute, I thought this was This Way Is Up. I thought this was like one of them Sidney Poitier and Bill Cosby like movies when they got the big dudes in the corner. All you hear is,
De La Soul, man. 32 years ago, I'm a teenager on Long Island. These guys from Long Island, nothing better than De La Soul, man. Nothing better. Shout
out. My dad hadn't freed me yet.
This is... Wait, what? 32 years ago? Shut up. You almost had me for a minute. You better know De La Soul. And if you don't, I'm going to play it ad nauseum.
I definitely know De La Soul. I couldn't fix it up when I heard it. The riff, it sounded like a sample from like one of them Sidney Poitier.
Well, that's the best thing about De La Soul back then. That's what they did, though.
Yeah, they brought in this old 70. That was old school car chase stuff right there.
You know what? That was a Hall. I think that's a Hall & Oates song, "Say No Go," that they sampled.
Okay,
and it was insane. Like, it was so good, and the song was great. Obviously, "Me, Myself, and I" is the song everybody knows off that album. There's like a song called "Potholes in My Lawn." There's also a song called "Buddy," that if we were an evening show, like maybe after midnight, we could discuss.
Yeah.
But
the kids are in school right now, so we can say what we want, right?
No, we can't.
Oh, sorry.
But I encourage the listeners to take a moment and listen to the song "Buddy."
You know,
Jungle Brothers were in that as well with De La Soul, and it's just a classic '80s song. I'll leave it there. It's Barton Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott. We're going back in the hot tub time machine right now. Right.
You know what we should do, because I know we're about to get to the callers, because that's who we want to hear from.
Yes,
but like Peloton, because now we kind of link together. We should take our five songs that we played on our breaks, and then people can download them, and then they can give us a small cash donation.
is that how we're gonna do this? We can work on doing a playlist. I used to do that with my night show when I had a Han Solo show in New York at night. I used to do we'd play our music coming in and out of breaks, and then we'd make playlists on Spotify.
Yeah,
and that was always a lot of fun because we love going back in time. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who save with Progressive save over $750 on average. Call or click today and find out if they could save you hundreds on your car insurance. As Bart said, it's call time. It's you time. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Let's begin with Jay in the Bronx. What's up, Jay?
Gentlemen, how are you?
Good.
So here's the deal. I just want to run an idea by you. I called maybe 2 years ago talking about maybe signing Ingram to the Knicks, and we were against it because we wanted to get like this true star that everybody wants. Yeah. My thinking is in free agency, we should just blow all of our money, sign two of those, I don't want to say mid-level players, but let's say you get John Collins and Oladipo. Hello?
Yeah, I'm not feeling – like, I watched Oladipo last night, and I've been trying to keep an eye on him.
It's a tick slow, right?
I just feel like that injury, he's still trying to come back from, man. Like, I loved him when he was healthy. I mean, he's a dog at both ends. But that injury gives me a little, as Stephen A. would say, cause for pause. John Collins plays the same position as Julius Randle. And I encourage everybody to read his Players Tribune story that he just posted that I put on my Twitter at Alan Hahn. Like, I can't fall in love with this guy anymore as a player. Like that, I'm done. Like, I'm all in now on Julius Randle. Like, he has flipped it for me from a guy that, you know, was I was not a big fan of his attitude last year. He's unbelievable now.
You fell in love with two players this year, man, that you historically did not like. I mean, we always talked about the spin cycle that was Julius Randle into triple teams. And now all of a sudden, man, between you and Harden, man, you're like, you're crushing hard, man.
Well, I don't know. I wouldn't go that far. It's an uncomfortable, like, I have such an appreciation for him, and the fact that he's playing for the Nets makes it a really difficult thing for me. I'll leave it at that. Mel is in New Jersey. What's up, Mel?
What's up, guys? So, man, over the years, you know, this whole free agent, I mean, superstar might come to New York. So over the years, this is just what I've been hearing. I've seen an interview, right? You guys bring up Devin Booker and you bring up Carl Anthony Towns, right? I've seen an interview with them. They saying that they want to form a big three, Carl Anthony Towns, Devin Booker, and D'Angelo Russell. They all played together growing up. So they want to join forces. And another person who I hear might come, I think might come, RJ Barrett and Zion said they want to play together. So I can see Zion coming through, man.
So tell me this. Which squad would you want? Would you want Karl Anthony Towns, Devin Booker, or would you want Zion and R.J. Barrett?
Honestly, man, for the big three, because I think D'Angelo Russell, he got a lot of talent. I like to see D'Angelo Russell, Devin Booker, and Karl Anthony Towns come through, man, personally.
I'll tell you what. Booker, I could see it happening. I don't see Karl Anthony Towns coming here with Tibbs here. They didn't have a great experience in Minnesota. So I just feel like I don't know if that's the deal. And once again, Karl would have to play center. I'm sorry, guys. You got your power forward for the next X amount of years. Julius Randle's 26 years old. He's an all-star. And he's playing great. He's bought in. How much more does he need to do to convince you that he's a guy that should be part of your future?
Well, the thing is, it's about how much does he want to be part of my future, because I need him to have a team-friendly, not some crazy contract, but I need him to have a team-friendly where we can go out and acquire two other stars, much like
Kevin Durant have his bird
and those
rights.
Guys took left. Yeah.
You've got an option on him for next year. I think it's 20, or it's like under 20, like 19. It's dirt cheap for an all-star these days. So if you can always, in the off-season – visit the idea of, okay, pick up the option and then talk extension off that option. So it buys you time.
Okay.
You know,
to see where it goes.
If
he's Cinderella, to see but if he's Brian, Cinderella.
What Brian said, though, Bart, is just like, it's so like, you know, now you're looking and wondering what's going to come next? What's going to happen next, right? Like who's it going to be? And we keep kicking that around. The problem is, usually it has to be somebody at the end of his contract who's going to force his team to deal him, because I'm not going to resign here. And
can I mention somebody?
That guy's not out there, although was it Mel that said Zion Williamson? But even Zion, if he doesn't want to sign with Pelicans, it's a restricted free agency. They can match anything, so he's not quite free. Go ahead, mention.
I mean, for me, and I feel like, you know, another player that's having a great season that nobody seems to be recognizing is Zach LaVine, man. This dude is balling.
He's an all-star. Yeah.
He's balling in Chicago.
He's got the Bulls back.
Nobody hears it. Nobody sees it. I know he's come off that devastating injury, and now he's back. He looks healthy from that. But, man, they couldn't stay in front of him the other day. And this dude is a high flyer, just like Zion. You think about all his ability. He's a better shooter. And he may be somebody that's able to get. But, you know, when you're an executive, you got to see where a player is going to be, not where he's at sometimes. Because if you wait to where he's at, it's too late. Zach LaVine is quietly doing his thing. And if you are the Bulls and you give the proper offer for a guy like Zach LaVine, yo, you got to consider it.
Now, I'll tell you what. That's a name. And here's why. The Bulls' ownership is notoriously cheap.
Oh, last dance.
I'm just saying. That is a name. And by the way, there's an appreciation between the two. Tibbs had him. We traded him for Jimmy Butler. But Tibbs had him, so I'm telling you right now, that's also something that you could keep an eye on. This is off-season stuff. This is not certainly something by the March 25th trade deadline. All right, we are Bart and Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott. We are brought to you by Goodyear, celebrating March deal days with month-long service and savings. Visit GoodyearAutoservice.com for offers coming up. Our good friend Jay Will. You know, I talked to Jay yesterday after the show. We had some fun about the idea like that he all of a sudden was going Booker, and we had fun with that. He wanted to come on. But this morning on KJZ, he revealed something. He's part of Overtime, that's a media company. And they made an announcement called Overtime Elite, and it involves high school players, high school aged players playing as professionals. And before you react, I'm here to tell you, it's not as crazy as you think. We'll discuss. Bart and Hahn, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus.
Bart and Hahn.
It's the B&H. Bart and Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott. I can't do it.
Spit that spit, B-Rabbit.
I can't do it as good as. Like that smoothness that Hold Snoop up. Can.
Wait. It's Nate Dogg that make it smooth.
He don't. Play. Well, yeah.
Like, know, come on, man. How you going to be still, a thug?
When he begins to like, da-da-da-da-da. Like, when he does that, like, that's pretty damn good. I do it. I sound like I'm on like the Yellow Brick Road.
I think he's gonna mess around and have the record like the Wu-Tang album that they only play when he dead. Like, when is the sequel to The Chronic coming out, man? He's been teasing for 15 years. I feel like I'm waiting for Coming to America 2. Drops at the end of the week, by the way.
That's right. It's Friday.
It is here. Yes.
I, I've been looking forward
to it. F you too!
It is Bart and Han while they keep us on the air. We are brought to you by My Computer Career, Training for a Better Life. We also brought to you by, or presented by, Progressive Insurance. Guests on the Bart and Han Show appear on the Goodyear Hotline. If you want to be part of the show, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. So as we mentioned, Jay Will, we love him, friend of the show, family, really, family of the show. Yeah. We had fun with him yesterday, and we talked after the show, and he gave me like a heads up. He's like, hey, make sure you listen to tomorrow. Got pretty big news dropping on the show. So he's in the, on the board with Overtime, which is a sports media company, and they do a lot of great stuff. And they announced today, and he talked about it, a new basketball league that they will be backing, and they have a lot of investment in it already, several millions invested into this. It's for high school players. Players are going to get like six-figure salaries, like $100,000. Yeah, what? Oh yeah. Ages 16.
Can I go back to high school?
16 to 18. So your high school age, 16 to 18, 16 years minimum. And it'll be a league where rather than playing in high school and obviously not going to college now because you won't be eligible, you play in this league. You're coached. You have also money that is goes towards school if things don't work out. Hmm. The whole idea is about development but also preparing you for the inevitable jump to pro. So it's not for everyone. It's not like a scrub like me could have said, I'm not going to St. Anthony's. I'm going to go to this league. Like they're like, no, you can be a ball boy, right. But you ain't playing.
Is this
for the elite of the elite. Now, keep in mind, the NBA has done something similar with the G League now, where they have those offers to players where you can make a sizable salary to instead of go to college, you go to the G League. And then after one year, you're now NBA eligible for a draft. The league's going to lower the age to 18. We know that's coming. So the one and done era is going to end pretty quickly. So with that in mind, this now comes into play where you say, okay, well now we're going to give you 2 years to get ready for that jump to the NBA or even to the G League.
Right.
Just to teach you how to handle life as a professional. So again, this is for the 1%. This is not for everyone. But I think it makes sense.
Is it any details? Do we have any details like how many teams is going to be? Like, are they going to be in different cities?
No, that's all being
go to an academy, like maybe down to IMG or something like that.
Yeah, I want to get all those details, but I don't have all the technical details. But I do know this is going on now. Anybody that says like this is outrageous, Luka Doncic played professionally in Europe when he was 16 years old. Mm. Okay, a lot of guys played professionally in international play before they came to the NBA as teenagers. And oh, in Canada, there's major junior hockey. There's two leagues. They're paid two.
Yeah, that's
they can't go to college. They go right to the pros. That's just how it works. And I think this will work for basketball as well. Coming up,
Neil Aquina.
NFL Talk with Bart Scott. Bart and Han, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Podcast. You can listen live to Bart and Han weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN Plus. Bart and Han, the podcast.